It's my pleasure to introduce Silvana Maria de Almeida, our pharmacist. Silvana studied at Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences, University of São Paulo. Her specialization in clinical pharmacy by the Center for Health Education, Adrian, after degree from the Federal University of São Paulo, UNIFESP, and he is working at Albert Einstein, São Paulo, Brazil, for 14 years, being 5 years in our adult ICU. Silvana, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to talk about my work in our hospital. The topic of my presentation is the role of clinical pharmacists in hospital protocols for antimicrobial rational use. Next slide. Increasingly, health services in Brazil are seeking excellence in the quality of patient care with errors prevention and adverse events in rational use of medicine. In Brazil, 55 hospitals have accreditation by the national accreditation, and 54 health services are certified by Joint Commission International. It's now that this process doesn't depend only on financial resources, but essentially on a multidisciplinary team committed to offer patients this quality excellence. Next slide. In this context, the clinical pharmacy, despite the fact of that it's still being developed in Brazil, it may mean a positive impact on process quality. Studies related to medication errors link the importance of the pharmacist in the multidisciplinary team and during visits to bedside, referring impact of the work of this professional in relation to increased quality in patient care, especially in relation to adverse events. Generated. Next slide. Brazil is the largest country in South America and Latin American regions. It is the world's 50th largest country, both by geographical area and by population. Brazil is a federation composed of 26 states, one federal district, which contains the capital city, Brasilia. Brazil has a very wide disparity in relation to the socioeconomic conditions of the population. There are striking differences between regions. Thus, we have in some years lack of health services and access to the population, whereas in others, quality of services and access compared to the first world countries. Next slide. The hospital is a private hospital which also serves philanthropically transplant patients or community. It has about 600 beds with approximately 40 adult intensive care unit beds, approximately 6,000 physician registered, and 1,200 nurses. Next slide. It is situated in São Paulo City, in southeastern Brazil, considered one of the most developed regions of Brazil. This is São Paulo. It is the largest city proper in the southern hemisphere, and the Americas and the world's seventh largest city. São Paulo metropolitan area, ranked as the second populous metropolitan area in the Americas and among the 10 largest metropolitan area on the planet. São Paulo is the capital of the state of São Paulo, most populous state. It exerts strong regional influence in commerce, finance, arts, and entertainment, and strong international influence. Next slide. The intensive care unit of Albert Einstein Hospital has a team of doctors hired and has a residence program, pharmaceutical and critical care nursing. The Albert Einstein Hospital has been credited by Joint Commission International for 10 years and is heavily engaged in issues involving patient safety and follows the recommendation of the World Health Organization and the Institute of Medicine. In 2000, the hospital went through the process of accreditation by Joint Commission International, the first hospital in Brazil and Latin America to go through this accreditation process, and as part of this quality, as part of the quality of the hospital, being initially implemented in the adult intensive care unit. For this implementation, the pharmacy wasn't alone, for it was able to count on the full support of medical staff and the hospital administration. Next slide. With the positive impact of services, by increasing of numbers and types of intervention together with the welcoming of the hospital of professionals by the multidisciplinary team, in 2003, there was expansion of clinical pharmacy for geriatrics and oncology, and in 2005 for all units of the hospital. Next slide. Today, the hospital has a staff of 55 pharmacists, then more than 30 clinical pharmacies, and it is expanding the idea for the pharmaceutical specialists. We also started with the activity of pharmacists in monitoring patients regarding DVT prophylaxis. Next slide. Just to illustrate, the pharmacy offers a support service for a sure safety of patients. The pharmacy offers the dispense unit dose drug. It has an area of handling injecting and a central analysis of medical prescription. All the prescriptions are checked. It also has an electronic dispensing system, PIXIS, and has satellite pharmacies for other units of hospital. Next slide. With the results of the work of clinical pharmacy, increasing numbers, and a positive impact in a multidisciplinary team, there was an increase in the number of pharmacies and also with the extension of number of protocols and activities in which the pharmacist was involved. In 2000, we had one pharmacist, and today we have more than 30 pharmacists working in more than 15 activities, such as monitoring of antimicrobial prescription, prophylactic and therapeutic, use of opioids, human albumin, DVT, drug interaction, adverse drug reaction, among others. Next slide. In a survey, we found that 2003, we had 171 pharmaceutical interventions per pharmacist, not forward to prescription or protocols. And in 2010, we found that this number was 1,397 per pharmacist. Next slide. The data also showed that the contribution of pharmacists in the intensive care unit represents 60% of all intervention. We can also see that there was by pharmacists and multidisciplinary team in more than 99% of the intervention made by pharmacists in our hospital. Next slide. Specifically, on the role of pharmacists in the rational use of antimicrobials in the time of implementation of clinical pharmacy, there was interest from the intensive care unit to act to this issue, because it was now that the emergence and the spread of multi-resistant bacteria was and still is a really in hospital and particularly in the intensive care units. Next slide. In a survey of antimicrobial the ICU, we found that 50% of the prescription of antimicrobial prophylaxis in surgical patients in the ICU, there was prophylaxis within 48 hours after surgery. In other words, the medicine that was prescribed as a prophylactic continued in prescribing for longer than necessary. In this sense, this problem. Next slide. Thus, in 2001, the project was designed to improve the quality of prescribing these patients in the ICU with the expansion of antimicrobial agents within 48 hours after surgery. It was presented and disseminated to key hospital surgical teams. To an informative, it was sent a letter of adherence to protocol to 10 major surgical teams, clarifying the problem of non-compliance regarding the time of prescription and prescribing antimicrobial prophylaxis, and requesting protocol adherence by signing a letter. Next slide. It was a book of surgical antibiotic prophylaxis for the hospital infection control services, and also a disease patient chart reporting and alerting on the proper use of prophylactic antibiotics. The work was done, and even today is done, with the participation of the pharmacist and infection ICU, with the aid of daily emergency room physicians in daily identification of patients with surgical antimicrobial prophylaxis, monitoring the duration of prophylaxis, recommended less than 48 hours. Patients included in the study should necessarily have a length of stay in ICU more than 48 hours. An infection disease physician and pharmacist discussed each case with the intensivist and discontinued the surgical prophylaxis before 48 hours had elapsed. Wanted to maintain the prophylaxis, the antibiotic could be prescribed again. We excluded the patient with antibiotics for established infection in patients undergoing elective surgery and staying less than 48 hours in the ICU post-operatively. It was used as the standard recommendation of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, for surgical prophylaxis. It was performed in the annual reports to compliance using it for the establishment of quality goals and intervention when not meeting the goals was established. In our study, was established for all surgical timeout prophylaxis within 48 hours. The data were disclosed to the ICU medical staff every 3 months through newsletter, clinical meetings, and lessons for the group of residents. Later, this protocol was expanded to the entire hospital. In 2008, to better know the results of this protocol, we also surveyed data on patients on surgery, antimicrobial consumption, rates of infection, and mortality. Next slide. Thus, we conduct a quasi-experimental study for the suspension of prophylactic antimicrobial therapy. From this, we also performed a case control study to investigate the main reasons for the non-suspension, and another cohort study to analyze the risk factors for death related to non-suspension of prophylactic antibiotics. Next slide. As a result, we managed to get adherence to protocol, achieving the set goals. At the beginning, the goal was 70%, in 2003, 8%, in 2005, 85% compliance. Next slide. We found that in addition to the sustaining of the results over time, the use of antimicrobial prophylaxis within 48 hours after the procedure was undetrimental to the patient in ICU. There was no increase in the rate of surgical site infection. Next slide. In our study, the investigation of certain risks associated with death showed that patient age, length of stay, and surgical time were risk factors for death, and the duration of prophylaxis the antimicrobial agents used for prophylaxis followed the protocol defined by the institution, composed mainly of cephalosporins first, second, and third generation. And no patients were prescribed vancomycin surgical prophylaxis. The distribution of the surgery types was similar in both groups, and the most frequent types were cardiac, gastric, orthopedic, and the neurologic surgeries. Length of stay was similar for both groups. The mean duration of surgery was 3.5 hours for both groups. Next slide. In conclusion, there was an increase of compliance associated with the suspension of antimicrobial prescribing in 48 hours in the surgical prophylaxis in the intensive care unit of the hospital, and the results were maintained over the time. Our study contributes negatively to the rate of surgical site infection and also represented no impact on consumption or expenditures for antimicrobials. The implementation, maintenance, and monitoring protocol was an activity that involved the multidisciplinary team, which is of fundamental importance to continuing education for its maintenance and its success. Regarding the limitation in our study, we can say the duration of patient follow-up, which was limited to hospitalization, and that in our intervention were limited to adult intensive care units. Furthermore, the protocol and other surgical prophylaxis are one of measures of quality used by the hospital. The combination of the broad antimicrobial control program involving the correct use of prophylaxis, correct medicine, and appropriate duration of disease proving to be effective to prevent the emergence and transmission of antimicrobial resistance. Next slide. In another protocol, it was the limit of duration of treatment with antimicrobial in 14 days. Next slide. In order to reduce the consumption of antimicrobial and antimicrobial resistance in the ICU, for we identified in only 50% prescription had suspension therapy in less than 14 days. Next slide. With use case greater than 14 days prescription. The prescription of carbapenems was strongly discouraged if the doctor changed the antibiotic to another after 14 days, the process was deemed to not comply. We excluded the cases of endocarditis, central nervous system infection, osteomyelitis, and intra-abdominal abscess. The analysis of antimicrobial consumption was conducted by monitoring the DDG per 1,000 patient days. The consumption rate and infection were compared between two phases. Next slide. There was patient of antimicrobial therapy in 89% of cases in comparing the two time periods. We found a reduction in carbapenems, vancomycin, and cephalosporin in the intervention phase. Next slide. In the intervention phase, imipenem resistance decreased in Acinetobacter and Klebsiella pneumoniae. Next slide. The results suggest that intervention contributes to use of antimicrobial agents in more rational way and to reduce bacterial resistance in hospital ICU. This behavior is also part of the whole routine clinical pharmacy and was also extended to the whole hospital after 2006. Next slide. To contribute to this work, the group of hospital pharmacies developed an electronic program of support the performance of pharmacy activities in the institution. With this tool, it is now possible to identify all patients from hospital with prescription of antimicrobial, and from this data, the pharmacist can classify it as a prophylactic or therapeutic follow, the indication, treatment duration, and classify conduct as per protocol. The system also makes possible to recover the data and information. Besides that, monitoring is also carried out systematically for other protocols in the hospital as a clinical pharmacy identified drug interaction, use of albumin, drugs with therapeutic monitoring, sleep-inducing drugs, and establishment of schedules of administration of medicine, routine administration of drugs, prescription, prescribing drugs we approve, among the others. Based on that, we can ensure the systematization of conduct. Next slide. This slide, we can verify that in 2012, when we started the system, we had more shares than before the implementation of the system. This is an example. In 2011, before the implementation of the system, we had about 1,500 interventions in antibiotic therapy. And after the implementation in 2012, we had about 11,000 interventions. Next slide. In relation to antibiotic prophylaxis protocol, we also had an increase in performance. This showed that the inclusion of the electronic system actually increased the efficiency of the work of clinical pharmacy, contributed to improve the assistance and ensuring patient safety. Next slide. As the expansion project of clinical specialist pharmacy, where the whole of pharmacy is specifically for conduct, there is the project of having a specialist antimicrobial pharmacist. Next slide. Finally, I would like to say that participation of a multidisciplinary team is essential in the planning and execution of routines and protocols to ensure the rational use of antimicrobials and reduce antimicrobial resistance in healthcare institutions in any count of the world. In our hospital, I can say that we are very privileged to have doctors and teams that make it actually happen. So I want to thank you, Paul, and all who followed.
Thank you, Silvana, for your lecture. And we are waiting for questions or some doubts.
Alex, this is Paul Weber speaking. We're not able to take questions over the phone, but if people wanted to email them to just paul@webertraining.com, I can forward them along and by email, and then we'll get the answers back that way, if that's okay.
Perfect. Thank you. It sounds good, so we read the questions by email. That's fine.